Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to church today. It is great to see you all today. Special welcome if you're visiting us today. We're really pleased to have you with us. My name is Josh. I'm one of the church members. I'm going to be introducing things as we go through this morning. We're going to be doing all the things that we usually do. So we're going to be praying. We're going to be singing. John, our pastor, is going to be explaining part of the Bible to us later on. But as you can see, we have got the pool open. This is not something that happens every week. And that's there, of course, because Keegan's getting baptized today, which we are really excited for. I think that John will explain a bit more about that later on when we get there. After the service, in celebration of Keegan's baptism, we're going to have some tea and cakes out in the hall. Just say that everyone is welcome to come along and stay for that. We've got some tea, some cakes, some snacks. Another food-related notice that somebody's just pointed out is we've got a shared lunch in 2 weeks, which I think is the 6th of September, and there is a sign-up sheet out there. So if you'd like to come along to that, if you can sign up to bring some food along on that day, that would be great. That'd be really helpful. So we're going to start by singing our first song, Ancient of Days. So this song refers to God as the Ancient of Days, which is a name or a description that the Bible uses for him a couple of times. And it's basically saying that he is ancient. He predates everything around us. He predates the world. He predates human powers, United Nations. He predates all of that. He's over it. He's more powerful. And when things around us are chaotic and out of our control, it's a comfort to know that he is in control. So please have a stand as the music starts and we'll sing this together.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord, we've got to confess that so much of the time we, in our minds, we place ourselves first, and we place ourselves at highest, at the top, in the way that we look at the world around us. But Father, as we've just been singing, we are not first. You are first before us all. We are not highest. You are highest above everything. Lord, please help us this morning to press pause on the way that we usually falsely look at the world around us, and help us to realign to the way that you tell us the world that you have created is. Lord, help us to hear from your word this morning. We pray that you'd speak to us through the songs we sing, and especially through the Bible as we read it and is explained to us shortly. Lord, we want to understand the truth that you speak to us, the life and freedom giving truth that we know is in your word, and we pray that that is what we would find this morning. Amen. So we are going to read the Bible now. We're going to have our reading, which is in Acts chapter 8. If you've got a church Bible in front of you, that is on page 916. And we're going to read starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So that is passage that John will be explaining at least part of to us later, so we'll look forward to that. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, quite a well-known famous hymn, which is really a good sort of summary of what we believe as Christians. We believe that we are saved by grace. We don't believe that we are here this morning because we are the top 10% of Crowborough, better than the other people around us. We believe that we're here because God has given us grace. He has given us good things that we don't deserve. He's had mercy on us. Let's stand, and if you can, and sing this together. Going to ask Keegan to share a bit of his story with us, a bit of why he wants to get baptized today. Are you ready, Keegan? Yeah.
Hello, I'm Keegan. At 2 months old, I was dedicated in Allington Baptist Church and given my first ever Bible, which I found in my room a few months ago. I was regularly attending church and Sunday school for the first 7 years of my life. My mum and dad then split up in 2016, and due to the separation, neither parent went to church. About 4 years later, after moving house many times, my mum tried a few different churches, but none of them felt like Allington Baptist. This constant movement is originally what caused me to fall out of believing in God. Although my mum supported me and my brother by taking us to Boys Brigade every Wednesday for 7 years to stay connected with the Baptist church, Alistair, the youth minister, Dave, Jane and Neil and other leaders encouraged a Christ-like behaviour and helped me through a difficult time in my life when I first started secondary school. The lockdowns of COVID-19 were some of the worst times of my life. My dad was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a type of cancer that was found in his neck. Due to coronavirus, I was not able to be within 2 metres of my dad for 8 months. At this time, my trust in Jesus was very little, because all I could see in the world was negative. This continued at the ages of 13 and 14, where I'd become completely adamant that there was no chance that a God existed. This even led to a dislike of the whole idea of Christianity. Then in spring of last year, my mum asked me if I wanted to go on a week-long holiday to Wales with all the people from Forest Fold. My response to this offer was no, absolutely not, I'm not doing that. After many nights of prayer from my mum and a lot of convincing, my answer changed to fine, I'll go. This would turn out to be the best decision I've ever made. I'm also aware my Auntie Olivia and Uncle Chris have been praying for me all my life, especially during this holiday. I was told to go into the WIPE holiday with an open mindset. I said no to this. But on the first night of the week, my eyes were completely open to the power that God has in young people's lives. I was privileged to experience the singing of numerous worship songs by the young people of the church. In that moment, I could feel the presence of God. I knew that I wanted to put my faith in Jesus. During the holiday, there was a testimony given by Jade Young, which also helped to widen my perspective of the world. She taught us that you do not need to be perfect to be a Christian, and that it's impossible to live without sin in our lives. I started to attend this church as much as I possibly could. Thankfully, it's only a 20-minute drive from my dad's house. I also encouraged my mum to start going back to Arlington Baptist. This means that I've got a church to go to most Sundays, which is helpful for developing my relationship with Jesus. During a trip to Broadstairs Beach, I had a nice talk with my friend Ezra. He told me that he'd been praying for me to find truth in Jesus on the first night of YP Holiday. This answered prayer helped me grow stronger in my faith and also begin regularly praying for others. God has worked in my life in a brilliant way that has transformed me as a person for the better. I can confidently say that the past year since putting my faith in Jesus has been the best year of my life. I've seen myself grow happier and more accepting towards others since I became a Christian. Bible studies, sessions with the YPs created by Chris Luke have also helped me to strengthen my faith and understanding of the Bible. The study in Luke helped me to see the life I should be leading as a Christian. Thank you to everyone for being here.
Well done, mate. Fantastic. Well done for sharing that, Keegan. It's no small thing to stand up in front of loads of people and share personal stuff. So thank you for doing that. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you so much for what we've just heard. We thank you for how you've worked in Keegan's life and in a way which he explained was in some ways unexpected or despite what he may have expected was going to happen. He just described that way that that you pursued him really and just made yourself clear to him and the change that is made for him which we've been able to see. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in his life, in saving him, in giving him a new hope and a new future with you. Lord, we pray that we would all know that. We pray that you would work in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would work in our communities and in Crowborough. We pray that there would be lots more people that want to turn to you, that want to turn to you and receive peace and grace and your love and your mercy and the freedom that comes in following you. We pray that we would see that here in this church. We pray we'd see it in our families. And we pray we'd see it around us in Crowborough and beyond. Lord, we thank you for the love and care that you have for us. We thank you that we can raise all of our worries to you. We can cast them on you as you encourage us to do, whether they are worries about our health and problems, problems with our housing and our finances, problems with relationships. Lord, we have so many problems, and so many of them seem out of our control to fix. Lord, we want to cast our problems, cast our worries on you, knowing that you care for us, knowing that you direct all things for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purposes. Lord, we pray for the church here. We pray for the kids and the young people. We pray that they would be aware of you and wanting to follow you early in life. Lord, we pray for kids who are maybe starting school or moving up to a new year at school soon, or maybe young people finishing school and taking the next steps. Lord, we pray that that the young people in this church would want to commit their plans to you, that that among all the plans that they make, that the decision to follow you would be at the centre. Lord, we pray for young couples who are planning their lives ahead. We pray for Tom and Emily and Elijah and Becca who are engaged and planning marriage and planning their future lives. Again, Lord, we pray that hectic and sometimes stressful time, we pray that you'd be with them and help them. And again, we pray that they would be putting you at the centre of everything they do. Lord, we pray for those of us here who are at the time of life of working, of careers and work. Lord, we pray that as the Bible says, you'd help us to do everything as if we're doing it for you, to not be serving our boss at work, depending on how much we like them and working out whether we're going to serve them a little bit or a lot today. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to put everything we have into work so that we into working so that we glorify you, working in a way that honours you and reflects you. Lord, we pray for people who are the older people in our church. Lord, we pray that whatever stage of life we're at, we would be looking for ways to serve you with the energy, with the health, with the time that is available. Lord, we pray that you'd help us not to waste the opportunities that we have, the distinct opportunities that come later in life or earlier in life, to be a witness for you, whether it is nearer the end or nearer the beginning of this life. And Lord, we pray again that that as John comes to speak to us shortly, we pray that we would just hear what you have to say to us really clearly. We pray that we would hear your words to us, and we pray that you'd help John especially as he speaks to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to sing again. We're going to sing a song which Keegan has picked, All I Have is Christ, which I didn't actually get to chat to him and ask exactly why I picked it, but I think it's probably fairly obvious because the song kind of describes this turnaround of somebody who was lost and then came to know Jesus and realised that Jesus was all. So let's stand and sing this together as the music starts, and then after this song, John is going to come and speak to us.
I will turn. Well, I'd very much like to add my welcome to everyone that's here watching on this morning, and especially to our family and friends of Keegan on this special occasion. And I want now to give a message from the Bible. We always do that in our services. We like to do that. We feel it's an important aspect of our service. And this morning we're looking at this fascinating account that we read about, the events that happened in Acts 8. And I think it fits in very well with what's happening here this morning. It's happened in the early period of Christianity, in the early experience of the church. And this incident ends with a man going on his way rejoicing. And that's what set my mind to this passage for this morning. There's a strong element of happiness that what Keegan said in his testimony and what he's experienced. And that's what we get at the end of this account. The end of this message. He went on his way rejoicing, it says in verse 39. He was one happy man. The strapline for this morning could really be what I've put in the title: Knowing Jesus Brings Joy. Knowing Jesus Brings Joy. And maybe that sort of pulls apart from your view of religion or even your view of Christianity. You feel that it's a bit like oil and water. They just don't mix. Religion, Jesus, happiness. That's how many see it. Perhaps it's the same for you. It's how I used to see it. It's how Keegan saw it. But the clear message of the Bible and the experience of true Christians is that knowing Jesus brings joy. Well, we're going to track what happens through this account and draw out some lessons. We're going to see it in five stages this morning. And first we start off with encounter, with encounter. God takes great interest in individuals. And he certainly does. It shines out of this wonderful account we've got here. Away from the crowds and the cities, a man is travelling. He's a man of status. He was a key finance man in his country's government. He's a black man from Ethiopia. He's a man who worships. He's just been to Jerusalem and he's on his way back. He was disabled. He was a eunuch, probably an enforced thing. And he wouldn't have been able to have normal marriage or fathered children. But God plans for this man to hear a message. So much so that Philip is sent away from the city and the crowds to speak to this man on his somewhat deserted journey. So there he is. He's on his chariot, no cars, no planes, no intercities. In fact, chariot is really luxury travel in those days, fitting somebody of his status and position. And Philip is told to catch up with this vehicle. We see it in verses 26 to 28. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So it was a very unusual, specific occurrence. An angel's involved in prompting Philip to go and see this man. But it does remind us that God has plans for individuals to hear about Jesus. It's wonderfully kind of God here to send Philip to this deserted journey place to intercept this man and to tell him about Jesus. He wants people of different countries and different backgrounds, with different colours and different status, different religious environments to hear about Jesus. Well, Keegan has heard things about Jesus from family and churches over the years, but God wanted him to hear more about Jesus at the White Pea Holiday last year, and in the church here and at Maidstone following on from that event. It was kind of God to make sure that Keegan came on the White Pea Holiday last year. And it reminds me of when I became a Christian in my teens, a bit out of character and really against the circumstances, I agreed to come on a YP holiday linked with this church. And God had cleared my Sunday mornings of football in the run-up to it so that I could regularly come and hear the message of Jesus. Maybe you've been put in a position to hear more about Jesus. Maybe it's part of his kind plan for you to hear more of the message. Maybe you'll look back on this morning and think that being here was instigated by God specifically for you to hear what you needed to hear. We have encounter, and then we have interest. And Philip must have been a fit fellow, mustn't he? Because he runs to catch up with the chariot. And as he does so, he hears a man reading aloud, as they tended to do in those days. And he recognised what was being read by this man in the chariot. It was part of God's word. It was part of God's word, part of the Bible called Isaiah. We've been looking at it Sunday mornings early in the year. We hope to come back to it in a few weeks' time. And you can see there that is the case in verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" So he's interested in God already, isn't he? I don't know how long he'd been interested. Quite a while, I should imagine, if he's been determined enough to head to Jerusalem a couple hundred miles and come back. Reading the Bible on his journey could have done other things. Some of us are not really very interested, are we? I wasn't really interested. I was quite dismissive of Jesus for a number of years. I thought it was irrelevant. I thought it was untrue. And Keegan certainly wasn't interested in things to do with Jesus. Not when he went on the holiday. He's just been open about the fact that he wasn't open-minded as he headed on that holiday. But that changed as he saw the joy and reality of faith in other young people and in leaders on the holiday. And it led to interest. And so he was keen to learn more about Jesus at the services, at Bible studies. It would be a wonderful thing if we all had an interest in the bigger questions of life. Do you ever think about such questions? Is there a God? Why are you here? What's the purpose of life? Can you relate to God? Where does peace come from? Can you find deep happiness? How should you live your life? What happens at the end of life? Big questions deserve a lot of thought. And this man is interested. And Philip picks up on his interest. He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "I need someone to explain," was the answer. And we come on to, thirdly, understanding. I don't know how big the chariot was, but it seems to have been that there was a spare seat. Philip is invited to come up and join the Ethiopian. Perhaps they sat next to him. Maybe they had the scroll open on the laps in front of them. We find out the exact words that the African was reading. is from an amazing chapter in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53. It's where we left off our series just before Easter. And this is a bit that he's reading. We see it quoted here in verses 32 and 33. The passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Who's he talking about? Says the Ethiopian. He wanted to make sense of these powerful and attractive words. We come to the crunch of the matter in verse 35. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Written over 700 years before, Isaiah's writing points intricately in some ways to Jesus. You know, it's one of the amazing things about the Bible, the way in which things that are said in the past, and we know to have been said a long while before, come true. So many times in the prophecies about Jesus, and certainly here. And this is the passage that he is reading. As it happens, I've thought about this passage a couple of times this week, separate from preparing. I think that might help explain what's going on. This is the first. I was travelling through Crowborough High Street. There was a vehicle in front of me. We're about the zebra crossing where Woolworths used to be. Is it Jones now? And the vehicle in front of me had a trailer. And on the back of the trailer were layers and layers of cages. And I could see lots of chickens shuffling and moving around. I thought, uh-oh. I secretly hoped that perhaps they were being taken from one farm to another farm, but I was fairly sure that these feathered friends were on their last journey heading to their end, defenseless in their last few hours. And it made me think of this verse 32, talking about Jesus. Like a sheep, the animal's different, but like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to be led without a struggle to be sacrificed on a cross. It's amazing. It's hard to get over it, really. God laying down his own son as a sacrifice, Jesus willing to be led like a sheep to the, like a lamb to the slaughter, giving up his life for others. And you say, well, why was that necessary? What's all that about? Well, other verses from this great ancient chapter tell us. Let me read verses 5 and 6 from Isaiah 53. It says this, pointing 700 years before to Jesus, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The other time I thought about this chapter, this last sort of week, might help explain this a bit more. So for the last 11 years, I have been a dog owner, and there are pluses and minuses of such a responsibility. One of the less fun parts of being a dog owner is dog poos. Sometimes they do them in the leaves, which is very handy because you can just kick over a few other leaves over it and move on. Does the trick. But when that's not possible, you have to grab them in a poo bag and you're left carrying the green bag dangling for the rest of your walk. It's not very nice. Okay, it feels a sort of dirty thing to have. It feels as though smelly. It's a bit shameful to walk past others with this sort of package of undesirables. And last Sunday we went on a family walk. And as the walk continued, I was left carrying a green bag. The offensive items were mine to carry. But there's more to this. Not only was I sort of carrying this shameful package, it didn't even belong to my dog. Someone else had left their dog's bag near the lake that we went past, and one of my daughters thought it would be a good thing for us to take it away. And somehow I was left carrying the bag, carrying a shameful load which didn't even belong to me. Now, it's a silly illustration, you may think, but it reminded me of what Jesus did on the cross. On the cross, Jesus was carrying the bad stuff, the offensive stuff, the shameful stuff. He was bearing sins, lies, retaliation, angry words, bitterness, ungratefulness, gossip, broken promises. And they weren't even his. It was God's plan that he should come as the innocent one and on behalf of others bear their sins and offenses. Verse 6 said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And that's the message this travelling man heard. It's the heart of the Christian message. It is, as it says, the good news about Jesus. And it's great news for us. That all that bag, if you like, of wrong things that we have done can be borne and carried by Jesus so that we are free, guiltless and forgiven and can be right with God. And this man understood. And I think it was the best news he'd ever heard. And it made sense of the big things of life. And he saw how life could be sorted, and he saw how he could be right with God, and he saw that he could have a future. Have you understood the central message of Christianity? Have you understood it as good news? Have you seen that Jesus is at the heart of it? Have you realized that the cross was so central to all that God was doing? Have you seen that it transforms everything? I lent a book to Keegan in recent months. It's called Living the Cross-Centered Life. It's very good. I'd be glad to get it for anyone else. But it shows in a very moving way how the cross of Christ is just so central to everything. This man understood it. And I imagine he's a hugely relieved man to know of Jesus and his cross, and it led to our fourth point this morning. Response. This man was not only interested and understood, he wanted to respond. The chapters around this make clear that the right response is repenting and believing. And that was true for this man. He realized he needed forgiving. He was sorry for what he'd done wrong. He wanted to live for God. He was grateful for God's forgiveness coming through Jesus dying on the cross. And he wanted to follow. He would have said yes, if you like, to the questions that I'll ask Keegan a bit later when we come to the baptism part. So Philip had told him about repentance and about faith and about baptism. And it's on this man's mind as they travel along in the chariot. And it's on his mind as they come to some water. You don't get much water in the desert. Perhaps they come to a wadi or something. And this is what happens in verse 36. It says this. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Baptism is the symbol of being a believer. Perhaps you think it's all a bit strange what's happening this morning. But it's what the Bible says should happen as somebody who's as a symbol that they are now following Jesus. It's like putting a badge on. It's going public. It's saying, "I'm siding with Jesus. I trust in him. I'm following him." That's what's happening. That's what we're looking forward to in a few moments. And Philip knows this man has genuinely believed. So why shouldn't he be baptized? So they get wet for a good reason. Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Have you got to that stage of believing in your heart? Of turning to the Lord? Have you shown it by baptism? Maybe you say, if it was just me and the minister, like it was for Philip, I might have been baptized a long time ago. Well, I think there were others, so you had to ask somebody to stop the chariot. There was at least somebody else there. There was probably a convoy traveling. It was a more public event. But it can feel a big step, and perhaps it feels a very big step for you. I know it does for some of you. But I encourage you to think like this man. Perhaps I could even shape it at it and put it like this. Here is a Baptist church. It has a baptism pool. What's stopping me from asking to be baptized? Believers should be baptized. And that's what we're doing this morning. Well, then we come to the end of our account. Philip is transported, possibly miraculously, to towns to speak to many others again, back to the crowds. But what of this one individual? What of this Ethiopian man? Says verse 39. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. We're back to where we started the message. It's our last point. Joy, verse 39. Jesus so often brings joy. Becoming a Christian brings deep and real joy. It brings difficulties. Life is still hard. In fact, it can be hard in new ways. But knowing the big picture, knowing peace with God, knowing what life's about, knowing that we're right with God, knowing that we're safe at the end of our life, having the relief of forgiveness, just knowing the joy of knowing somebody like Jesus leads to joy. Earlier, Philip in the chapter had gone to Samaria and he told them about Jesus. And it ends with this simple phrase, verse 8, "So there was much joy in that city." And Keegan said, in his testimony, "I can confidently say that in the past year, putting my faith in Jesus has been the best year of my life. I have seen myself grow happier, more accepting towards others since I became a Christian." Well, I hope that this morning's service might be a big step in you finding that joy for yourself, if you haven't done already. And that joy is going to be reflected in our next song, we're going to sing together. And then after we've finished singing the song, do stay standing as we move on to the baptism. Hopefully you'll be able to see the baptism. If it works well, it'll be shown on the screens. But we do like children, especially, to make sure they get a good view. I can see some of you have got a good view already. But if there are children who haven't got a good view, they're very welcome to sort of go into the corridors, the gangways, to make sure that they can see well what's happening. Well, shall we sing then our last song, another song of change. But notice the way in which the chorus reflects the joy and the specialness